two-part message today, this morning. The head of the message, the heading would be, now is the time. We're talking about being in the very first of the year of 2012 and some of the things that the world says is coming. And then there's some of the things that the Word says is coming. How many trust the Word over the world? Amen. I have not yet relinquished the prophetic word to the Mayans. Got awful quiet. There's a bunch of Mayan worshipers here. How many believe God's word takes precedent over every word? This morning, the subtitle of the message was In His Presence. And we talked about the value of having the presence of God in your life and the impossibility of serving God without His presence available and active in your life. There were a group of people, and many of you were here this morning, that said, I'm going to live a life with God's presence in my life every day. How many say amen to that? I've decided that I'm going to operate in the presence of God, because in the presence of God gives us the power and the authority over the enemy. Now, I'm not going to re-preach what I said this morning, but I want to remind you that Satan has had his time in the presence of God, and he doesn't do well in the presence of God. He didn't do well at the Red Sea with the Egyptians. This is the quietest crowd I've ever been around in my life. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Then tell me. He didn't do good with Dagon over the Ark of the Covenant, did he? He's never done well when 185,000 of the Syrian army surrounded Israel and had them entombed, and Hezekiah called to God. He didn't do well in the presence of God, amen? And when the presence of God dwells in you, because we don't have that ark any longer, we have become the temple of the Most High God. If you're a temple of God, say amen.
Amen.
As the temple of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that same power that existed in the Ark of the Covenant now resides in us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now we come and we become a formidable foe to the enemy because we realize what we have. It's not us. We're the chest. We're the ark. We're the temple. We're the container. We're the clay vessel. But what is in us is something far greater than what we could ever hope to be, because it's the Spirit of the Almighty God. Amen? The power of the Godhead is in us through the power of the Holy Ghost that abides in us. And when we come against the enemy, we're not coming in ourselves. We're coming in a name that cannot be measured in greatness, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? So when we come as the temple of God, the dwelling place of the presence of God, and we decide some things this morning that we said, as the pastor of this church, I have the presence of God. I've chosen to have the presence of God. And I'll fight the battles for you. And I'll win those battles through the presence of God. But guess what? Now we've got a whole congregation of people that are saying, we too are going to have the presence of God in our lives. And when the enemy comes against one of us, shame on him. He might have well just slapped me in the face if he slaps you in the face, because we're going to gang up on the enemy. And all of these folks, all of us who are dwelling places of the presence of God, are going to come against the enemy. And when we do, the enemy is going to flee, because he doesn't do good in the presence of God. Think about it. When Jesus, and I mentioned it, but when he descended into the depths of the earth, and he took control, it wasn't a battle. It wasn't difficult. He just said, give me the keys. And he took the keys to death. He took the keys to hell and he took the keys to the grave, broke the bars and the gate of hell wide open, and he said, from this point on, I control, and anyone who has my spirit in me has dominion and authority over the demonic powers that exist until I take them into my presence, and he has given us that power through the precious Holy Spirit of God. It's ours. So we don't walk around defeated. We don't walk around broken. We don't walk around wondering. We know we have confidence, not in ourselves, but we have confidence in the Word of God, in the presence of God in our lives, that nothing can withstand. I'm talking about nothing can withstand the presence of God. That's why we're going to pray for the sick. And if you came and you have a need in your body, you say, Pastor, I was there last week. You're here this week now. And God is going to heal you tonight. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Now listen to me. Tonight, I've talked about now is the time. As a title and subtitle, tonight is fight or flight. What are you going to do with the presence of God in your life? Are we going to have it and know we have it and just be comfortable having the presence of God and letting it be a security blanket to us? Are we going to do something with the presence of God? Again, I've gone back to an Old Testament scripture because there's so much foreshadowing. In 2 Kings chapter 5, the Word of God talks about a prophet by the name of Elisha. Now I want to tell you something about Elisha. Elisha wanted the presence of God in his life so much. It was a desperate desire. That he became the prophet assistant to Elijah, the great prophet of Israel. And Elisha followed him everywhere he went. And Elijah told Elisha, look, at times you don't have to go every place I do or be with me every place I am. And Elisha said, as surely as I miss, that's the time God would have blessed me, and I'm not going to take a chance on getting everything that I can get from God by not being where God's presence is. I'm going to be there. So when you say stay here when you go to Bethel, no thanks, I'm going to be with you. When you stay here if I go to Jericho, no thanks, I'm going with you. I'm going to show you my desire, my desperation for the presence of God, and I'm going to be right where you are. And he followed the prophet Elijah until the day came that we know what happened. God called Elijah into his presence, and he dropped his mantle down, and Elisha picked it up, and he took that power in his hand, and he said to the Jordan that was there and the river was in front of him, the God of Elijah, he said, I want to see if that power works for me. And he found out that it had nothing to do with Elijah. It was the presence of God working in him. So it doesn't have anything to do with what's in me to want what I have. What I have is what you've got already. You've got it. And he struck the river, and the river parted. And the prophet said, this man's got the presence of God in it. They were spectators. They were blessed from the very presence of him, and it was a wonderful thing. But I'm tired of being blessed on other people's blessings and just encouraged by other people's touches. I'm ready for God to do something for me. Amen. And to be strong in God. So Elisha began to use the presence of God in his work. In chapter 5, the Bible says of 2 Kings, now Naaman, a commander of the army of the king of Aram, he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taking captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, listen to this, fight or flight. She said to her mistress, I've been taken captive by the enemy. Anyone in here ever been taken captive by the enemy? Say amen. Every one of us have had the enemy try to take us captive. I've been taken captive by the enemy. He's tried to take everything away from me. He's taken my mom, my dad. This was when it talks in terms of young girl in Hebrew, we're talking about 12 years old or less. And she said, I don't have my family. I don't have my support group. The temple, I don't have the temple of God to go to anymore. I'm just kind of out here by myself, and I'm a captive in the house of Naaman, who's the general over this army, and I'm a maid to his wife, and I don't ever see any possibility of me having freedom in this world. But there's one thing they can't do, and they can't stop from me. They can't take the freedom I have through my God Jehovah. And so here's what I realized about this little girl. Instead of walking away from God and turning away in the flight pattern, or saying, if God loved me, why is this happening? If God loved me, why am I in this situation? This young lady said this. She said, if my master, who has leprosy, only knew there's a prophet in the land where I come from, where the Spirit of God rests in him, and that prophet could heal him of what he's got of this leprosy. And this little girl who was a maid to her mistress, the mistress couldn't believe what she was saying. She said, what did you say? She said, this is what I'm telling you. I have a God that can. And it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do to me, I still have a God that can. The enemy can strip away and take away and choke and put me in what he thinks is in slavery, but the fact is that the presence of God cannot be enslaved, and I am in control here, lady, more than you are, because you're his wife and you can't do a thing about it. I'm just a little slave girl that was taken, a young girl under 12 years old, but I know the key and the answer to this great man, because I know God loves him. And I know he's a great warrior. Yes, he was used to put me in captivity, but he's a great man for this king. And I understand this, that I have a God that's able to deliver him from the situation he's in. So the wife goes to the husband, and she tells him. She says, this little girl's telling us that there's a man of God that can heal you. The Bible says, Naaman went to his master in chapter 5, verse 4 of 2 Kings. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, the king of Aram said, I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. And the Bible says the letter that he took to the king of Israel read like this. With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman so that you may cure him of leprosy. The only problem was the king of Israel didn't have the presence of God in him. Now listen, when you're attacked and you don't have the presence of God in you, the battle becomes yours. Listen to me. When you're attacked and you don't have the presence of God active in your life, the battle becomes yours. And you'll vocalize that right off the bat. I'm in a situation I can't do anything about. I've been put in this thing, in this place. The king answered him. Now look at the response from the king. When the king answered him, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See, he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. He internalized the situation, the challenge that came to him, and he said the truth, but he said it in the wrong way. He said, I don't have the ability to do anything about this. Who's this guy? Says this. All he's going to do is use this for an opportunity to destroy me. Now listen to me. I've said it and you've said it. And people have said it that when the enemy comes against you and attacks you, and you say, look, I wasn't doing anything to get in this fight. I don't have a dog in this fight, as we say. And I wasn't doing anything to get in this fight. Why in the world doesn't this or they or something, why don't they just leave us alone or leave me alone? Or why did this happen? Because I'm not trying to fight with these folks or with this situation. I didn't do anything to deserve what's happening to me. Why did this happen? Because I don't have the ability. Who do they think I am that I have the ability to do something about this? But that little girl, when she heard that her master had leprosy, she was on a different wavelength. She said this, there's a prophet in the land. She didn't say a king because she knew the king didn't have the presence of God in him. She knew the man that had the presence of God in him. Let me tell you something. Not only will people recognize the presence of God in your life, hell recognizes the presence of God in your life. And when people recognize the presence of God and send someone to you, when you look at that situation, you're not looking at an impossibility. You're looking at the opportunity for the presence of God to do what the presence of God will do working through an individual. This king didn't have a hint. He was supposed to be the spiritual leader. There had been kings who had been spiritual leaders, and then those that were completely depth in society and lost their into secular beliefs and not the word of God. But this king didn't have any ability, and he quickly gave up. He ran. The word of God says in chapter 5, verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Let me ask you something. When the challenges, when the attacks of the enemy come to you, when situations come to you that are obviously out of your control, are you going to tear your robe or are you going to trust in God? And that's what he said. Why have you torn your robe? Have this man come to me, and he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel. He had no idea what that little girl said. But that little girl recognized the power of the presence of God in the life of a man, and she knew that it resided in Elisha. What did she say? She said to her mistress in chapter 5, verse 3, she said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who's in Samaria, that he would cure him of his leprosy. The prophet heard about it, and what did the prophet say? He said, have him come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman sent with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent out his messenger to talk to him. This is Gehazi. He said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman got all upset because people have some idea. Now listen to me. Let me teach you a minute. People have some personalized opinion of what they believe the presence of God is in your life. An aura, a shining light around you. A vibration when you walk into the room. And all those things point back to you. The presence of God is never exposed to human ability. And Elisha was a man of God that really possessed the presence of God. Let me tell you the calm, peace the presence of God gives you. The presence of God gives you such a confidence and a peace that you can speak with authority the word of God to someone and know without a fact, without a doubt, that it's a fact and that God will honor your word. You say, well, the Holy Spirit spoke to Elisha. No, the Holy Spirit didn't speak to Elisha. Elisha spoke because he had the Holy Spirit in him, and the Holy Spirit's saying to Elisha, use me, use my presence. And Elisha said, here's an opportunity, and he did. You don't have to wait for a voice or a word or impression. When you have the presence of God in you, you can operate in the presence of through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and what you say, God will honor. Did you know that? He'll honor your word. It's the Holy Spirit working. It's not you. But when you see an opportunity and you've got the presence of God in your life, you can speak to that opportunity and God will honor your word and he'll do what you ask him to do. And Elisha told him, he said, go down to Jordan. It's just right over here. I've been in the Jordan. Ruth drank half of it when we was in Israel last time. She filled some water bottles up to bring water from Jordan home and got them mixed up and drank about half of one and went, tastes funny. Didn't hurt her. I said, you'll probably be blessed the rest of your life. Jordan's not a bad river. There's times or seasons, the harvest, it runs kind of muddy, but I'm telling you, it's a gorgeous river, beautiful, clean. And he went down back to his horse and got on his horse. He said, look, in Syria, there's two rivers I know that are much better than the Jordan. Naaman decided not to fight with faith that God would heal him. He decided to take off and run, fight or flight. You got to trust the word of God. When God tells you something, you've got to trust the word of God. And you say, well, if you don't, then you're going to be punished by God or you're going to miss by God. No, sometimes, in this case, God's going to teach you his word is true. And he's a patient, loving, kind God. And Naaman just gets in a huff. He said, you know, I thought he would come out and at least wave his hands over me or go woo or something, you know, and make some kind of super spiritual action. But he didn't do anything. He sends his servant Gehazi out, comes to the door and goes, go dip in the Jordan seven times. And Naaman goes, who in the world does he think he is? And the truth is, he thought he was nothing, but he knew God was everything. See, the presence of God doesn't operate like some of the things you've seen on, like you've seen today. Presence of God is totally different. Presence of God honors God. It's holy. It's truth. His presence is holy. And there's no need for human notoriety in the presence of God. We're doing, as a temple of God, we're possessing his presence and we're using it. Naaman said, I'm not going to do it. And one of his servants, here comes a servant again. His servant said, look, if he had asked you to go to this river or that river, would you have done that? And he goes, yeah, I'd have done that. He said, then why not? It's so simple. Why don't you just wash and be clean? Why don't you just do what he said to you? See what Naaman's servant said? Naaman's servant said this. Went to him and he said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed. And so Naaman, in disgust, goes down to the Jordan. The seventh time he comes up, all the leprosy is completely gone. Completely gone. And he's healed. And you know what Naaman's response was? So he went down to the Jordan. You were there just a minute ago. And dipped himself in the Jordan seven times as the man of God told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, and he stood before him and he said this, now I know that there's no God in all the world except Israel. Please accept my gifts. This is what he said, now I know that the presence of God rests in you. I've seen the authentic. I've experienced it by obedience. I decided not to run, but I decided to fight. And faith is a fight. When you don't feel like obeying God, it's a fight. When you don't feel like doing what God asks you to do, it's a battle. When you don't have the understanding that what God asks you to do is greater than what you think you ought to do, it's disturbing. But when God sends His presence to an individual and He works through that individual and He gives you that word, when God works in you and His presence is strong in you, He's going to cause that word to come out of you without any fanfare and without any notoriety to you. It's all to the glory and honor of God because it's His presence. And when you operate and you learn to operate in that fashion with God, great things are going to start happening. Great things are going to happen. This Naaman said, I'm going to tell you something. I know one thing now, that there's only one God and He's in Israel. This has all happened because of this reason. Listen to me. The presence of God in your life is more important to you. It's more essential to you than anything that exists in your life. Finding that place with Him, finding that becoming open and clean and holy before Him, allowing Him to fill you with His Spirit, sacrificing to Him yourself and giving Him everything that you are. These are preparatory things that we do in our life for God to let His presence rest in us. But once His presence rests in us, let me explain something to you. You not only have the full armament of God active in your life that you can be used, and you're not going to set when the presence of God fills you. This morning you asked for the presence of God. I want you to start listening because God's going to start sending Naamans your way. You don't have to worry like the king of Israel. You don't have to be afraid like the king of Israel. All you have to do is understand that because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that you can speak to the situation and in Jesus' name it'll be done. How many have confidence to believe Jesus can do anything you ask Him? How many believe He will? Then you have just defined faith. He can and He will. Now, listen to me. This is one of the shortest messages I'll ever preach to you. I'll make it up later. But God came in my heart tonight. He spoke to me, and this is as planned as it can be. This morning, I gave you the layout on the presence of God in your life. On now is the time when David understood that the Ark of the Covenant, for all the entire administration of Saul, had laid at Abinadab's house. He said, we have other battles that are facing us, and now is the time to get the presence of God back in its rightful place. Now this morning, my folks, we got the presence of God back in our rightful place. And I'm not saying we didn't have the presence of God, but we had a renewal of the presence of God here today. If you missed this morning, you missed a great service, but it's not over yet. The amen hasn't come. Tonight, we're going to activate the presence of God in our life to be used in a powerful way. If you want to be used by God, say amen. Amen. My friends, it's no good just to have the presence. It's not, the presence of God isn't a warm, fuzzy blanket that gives you security. That's your salvation. It's not some badge of authority or rank system in heaven. You don't need to worry about that. Jesus is the commander of and host of the army of God, and we're just servants of the Most High God. The presence of God is an ability to operate in the Spirit of God and be used to break chains on those people that are captive, to let people that are held in bondage free, to heal the sick, to give hope to the hopeless, joy to those that don't have joy, and strength to those who need strength, and freedom to those who are in captivity of sin. And God only works through us. I want you to do this. Pastor Donnie, come to the piano tonight, and I want you to prepare your heart right now. I want you in two areas. Number one, you need a healing in your body tonight. I want you to prepare to receive that tonight in your spirit as He's playing right now. And if you're here tonight and you have decided that you want to be a conduit of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit comes through you and flows right out of you like a fountain, that you're going to meet the challenge that comes and you're going to understand it's the power of the Holy Spirit, not you, I want you to stand to your feet with me.